Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. If you're able, please get a Bible, get a notepad and a pen. We're going to give you a lot of scripture. We're going to preach the word of God, line up on line, precept upon precept, hear a little, dare a little. Amen. And the Bible says that that's the way we're supposed to teach a doctrine. And the Bible's supposed to interpret itself by letting the scripture preach the lesson. So I want you to follow with me today in this broadcast. We're going to be sharing a message today from our communion service. And I want to entitle it, Bringing Honor Back to the Cross and the Blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 26, it says, For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In the New Testament, we can walk righteous before God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and how he shed his precious blood and gave us a grace to teach us to deny ungodliness. If the New Testament church don't take the blood of Jesus in the right perspective and live it out according to the scriptures, the Bible said we deserve more punishment than the Old Testament people. I want you to read that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 down to verse 29 and read it in context. Let's go into the message already in progress. And remember, Galatians 5:16 says, This I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go now into the broadcast. You read for me. I want you to find Matthew's 1:21. I'm going to need some help so we can get through this quickly. Give some mics. I need Judy, you find John 1:29 and Tammy, 1 John 3:8. Okay. Now, let me tell you where I'm going. There was a preacher in Houston, Texas, and I won't call his name. And we got peoples on the internet. We got peoples at home watching us on the internet. And some of the peoples in Houston went to a church service Friday night because they have worship service on Friday night. And the preacher, it's like about 5,000 or 6,000 members in the church, maybe more. The preacher got up and said this. He said, no one can stop sinning. Everybody gonna sin. You're human and you will sin. And he told that to the whole church. Now you may look and say, you may do this number. How many of y'all believe that? Okay. But that's what the preacher said. But now, that preacher is not the only one. Do you not know the general consensus in the body of Christ is because you're human, you're going to sin? That's the general consensus in the body of Christ. And most people think it's no way possible you can live without sin in your life. Most people think that. Folks, do you know that's not in the Bible? And I'm asking you, I'm going to give you enough scripture to check it out. That is not in the Bible. That was never God's heart reason. Jesus got on that cross and died. When he shed his blood, pierced him in the side, went through that hell. Do you think he went through that and shed his blood now to just send you a grace and say, my grace going to cover you while you're sinning? That is the most ridiculous thing we have ever been taught in our life. And it got more people deceived and more people on the road to hell than a little bit. This hyper grace message going out now so you don't have to confess sins. You can. One preacher said he got 10,000 in his church. He preached to two or three big churches. He said,
grace is so powerful that you can, he's trying to prove how powerful grace is. He said you shouldn't sin, but even if you do sin, you can sleep with every woman in the church and still die and go to heaven. Now, you may think this far-fetched, but the average preacher believed that. Okay? Now, and everybody running to take the Lord's Supper and don't have a clue what they're doing and why they're doing it. When Jesus shed his blood, he shed his blood for a reason. And let me show you the reason. Read, who got the first one? Read yours. Matthew 1:21.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall save his people from their sin.
He gonna do what?
He shall save his people from their
sin. Not save you in your sins. He gonna save you from your sins, right? Okay, now that's the Bible. Okay, he gonna save his people from their sin. All right, who got the next one? John 1:29.
John 1:29.
Mm-hmm.
And next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world."
All right, you remember taketh away the sin of the world. You remember save your people from their sin. Now, what is Jesus gonna do?
Save the people from the sins of the world.
What is Jesus going to do?
Take away the sins of the world.
He going to take them away?
Away.
You mean he ain't going to just let me keep sinning?
Yep.
He going to take them away. Why would he take them away and then accept you bringing them back and then just give you a grace to do it?
Come on.
See, I'm saying it's some silly, silly stuff being taught people, and the Bible don't agree with that. Now, you see, some of you may not ever come back again, but one thing for sure, when people come through here, they're going to hear the Bible.
Amen.
And God can hold you accountable for the Bible. And you can go check everything out. Okay? So, now, what's the next one, Tammy?
1 John 3:8.
1 John 3:8.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
Uh-huh.
For the devil sinned from the beginning.
Okay.
For this purpose.
Now, he that committed sin is what?
Of the devil.
Okay, now that's a eternal document, and it don't matter whether you're a sinner or a saint. If you sin, you got to be of the devil to do that.
Right.
You can't be of God, because in God there's no sin, in God there's no darkness, and if you abide in him, the Bible says he that abideth in him sinneth not.
Yeah.
So if you got the sin...
St. John chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." To sin, you have to get out of the abiding of Christ.
Okay. But they're telling us, this major preacher now all over the world, and God done called me to deal with it, and that's my job. We don't do no usual church, okay? We just do the Bible. And I preach to a lot of preachers, and I'm correcting some things in the atmosphere. And if the preachers don't change, that's their business. But I done told the truth. And they need to tell their people the truth. Because, see, if you in him is no darkness, in him is no sin, and the Bible says if you abide in him, you sinneth not. If you sin.
If a sinner or a saint sin, at that moment, you become unrighteous. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Your righteousness have to remain even as his righteousness. We are not righteous inside of sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. And in him there is no darkness at all.
Now, Jesus said, when I come, let him that's filthy be you, if you die in your sins, you will die lost forever.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 3:20. Ezekiel 18.
Scripture references. Ezekiel 3:20. Ezekiel 18:24. St. John 8:21. St. John 8:34-35. 1
John 3 and verse 6.
Tell you, see, ain't nothing. I'm telling you, people have been taught wrong, and I got to do this. Oh, they up there? Oh, there. Okay, look at all these scriptures. Leave them up now. And even when the service is over, when we finish in a few minutes, you can write them all down. There is 19 scriptures, and all you need is two or three witnesses, and every word will be established, the Bible says. There is 19 scriptures that say you cannot die in sin and go to heaven. I challenge every preacher, find one that say you can die and go to heaven.
Scripture references. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. St. John chapter 8 verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Other scripture references. Revelation 22:11, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, 2 Corinthians 13:2, Ezekiel 3:20, Matthews 25 verse 1 through 15, Galatians 5:21, Ephesians 5:3 through 8, John 8:21, Hebrews 12 verse 14, Hebrews 10 verse 28 and 29, Matthews 5 verse 8, Matthews 7:21, Romans 2 verse 12 through 13, Romans 6 verse 23, Romans 8 verse 13, and 2 Peter 3 verse 11 through 14.
Now, if they come up with 1 John 1 and 8, you know what I'm going to tell them? 1 John, because 1 John 1 and 8 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And then preachers take that scripture, preach it to the people, and say, you see, can't nobody live without sin. This scripture say, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's not what that scripture talking about. All you got to do is take 1 John 1:8 back up to verse 5 and get the context of what he's saying, and you'll find that 1 John 1:8 is talking about the person in 1 John 1:6. 1 John 1:6 says, if he said, God is light, and in him is no darkness. If you walking in darkness, you got sin in your life and say you have fellowship with him, you are lying. And it's when 1 John 1:8 come and say, if you say you have no sin, he's talking to the man in 1 John 1:6. He is not teaching that you gonna sin. But preachers have taken that verse, twisted it, and got the whole congregation thinking you can't live without sin. Then they'll say, John 8 verse 11, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And that's a popular one all over the church. Do you know when Jesus was talking to those people, none of them was born again?
St. John chapter 8 verse 3 through verse 11.
None of them could be without sin because Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, hadn't been given on none of them. And when you can't live, you can't be a son till you got the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So he told those people, anybody without sin cast the first stone. All of them had sin. But now that don't mean on this side of Calvary, when you got the Spirit and been born again, you're supposed to have sin. See, that's another verse they took, twisted it, and got the whole church thinking you can't live without sin. And everybody running to take the Lord's Supper, celebrating the blood of Jesus, and using the blood of Jesus just to cover my wrongdoing. And then they got doctrines in the church that say, oh, he see me through the blood. He don't see my sins. He see, and that's what the preacher said in Houston. He got up and said, if anybody, he said, can't nobody stop sinning. Everybody gonna sin. He said, if anybody say they don't have no sin, they just sin by saying that. I'm telling you, and I'm giving y'all the illustration now, but this is widespread in the body of Christ. And most, go ask your preacher, do we believe you can live free from sin? All sin, not practicing.
1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Whether you're committing a lifestyle of sin or practicing sin, or whether you commit one sin, all of it is unrighteousness, and all sin take you out of the presence of God, whether you're practicing it or whether you commit one sin.
Lifestyle, all sin, and you'll know who you're following. The preacher said, if you say you don't have no sin, you just sin. Now, think about some baby Christians and then they're hearing that. That preacher just trapped them. He just trapped them right there. Okay. Now, there's a scripture in Timothy that says,
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which hitherto have sinned, and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. God will not spare you in sin.
Let him that sin, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. If that preacher got up, if I would have been there, I'd have said, preacher, you ought to rebuke yourself and rebuke everybody in here. Because the scriptures say, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. And he's talking basically about leadership. They are sinning and they in leadership. You rebuke them, leaders, so these people may know that this, we take sin serious. Amen. Because we, you know, if everybody would get rebuked when they come to church, you'd be rebuking all day. Because the whole church full of sin now, because the preachers done taught us wrong. So we got to come set you down and teach you right now. And maybe, just maybe, after this service, you'll think about this and go search your Bible. And maybe you'll want to go to heaven and get your lives cleaned up. Because ain't nobody going to heaven if you die in sin. Nobody. Go search them out, look at them in context, and go try to find one that say you can go to heaven and sin, and you will not find it. Now, why did I share this? Because we got to bring honor back to the blood of Jesus. We got to bring honor. God has called me as a defender and a contender for the faith, and I'm bringing honor back to what Jesus did on that cross. He didn't die on that cross so that you leave you struggling with sin.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
He came to what?
Save people from their sin.
Take away their sin. I think I cut you off. That scripture said, 1 John 3 and 8, for this whosoever committed sin is of the devil. Now, the subject is sin, right?
Yeah.
Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. And watch this. For this purpose, what purpose? Sin. For this purpose, the Son of God came that he might cover.
Destroy.
That he might destroy the works of the devil. So yours is destroy sin. Now, come on, let's start again. Jesus came
to save people from their sin.
Jesus came. Jesus came.
Destroy.
Why we think we can't live without it? Because Antichrist been schooling the church for several decades. And now the Bible says in Thessalonians that before the Lord return, they're going to be a falling away first. People are going to fall away from God. They'll still be in church. They'll still go to church. They'll still be on the road. But they're going to fall away from God, the truth of God.
1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In these last days, the enemy want to sit in the body, the temple of the Lord, our bodies, our minds, our heart, and he want to exalt himself above all that is called God He'll tell you that sin cannot be conquered. That's the man of sin.
And the Bible said before that, before the Lord return, they're going to be falling away first. Then the man of sin, that's Antichrist. He's called the man of sin. He's going to be revealed. And then the Bible said he gonna walk. He comes in the temple to exalt himself above all that is called God. Who is that gonna do that? The man of sin is the issue. So he gonna walk literally in Jerusalem 3.5 years. He gonna walk in the temple, set himself up to be God. Then the Jews gonna realize they accepted the wrong one. Now before he come, his spirit gonna do a work. The spirit of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity is already here. And the spirit has been in the pulpit many times preaching and we didn't even know it. And he was throwing nuggets out. Nobody's perfect. No such thing as sinless perfection. You can't live without sinning. That was his spirit. And for God told me the last several decades, that's what that spirit been doing to people, feeding them. And nobody really think they can 100% without a doubt walk the straight and the narrow and live with no sin. And if you believe that, you believe you can't live sin free, then you don't believe Jesus came to
save people from their sins,
take away the sins of the world, destroy the works of the devil.
Then you don't really believe. And then that's why if you take the Lord's Supper, you are taking it unworthily, because you're really not worthy of what you're doing, because your mindset and your belief system has been tainted. How could you think that these doctrines have been right when this is the purpose? The purpose was to destroy sin. And now the man of sin has deceived me, even me too. There was times in my life when I was there, but I ain't there no more. And I'm preaching the truth all in the airways. And I know everybody ain't crazy about hearing this, but I'm sorry. If you hear it, God gonna hold you accountable. Because we've been lied to. The man of sin done taught people. And now people believe. See, he gets in people through their emotions, their thoughts, their life, their belief system. And you think it's you. But the man of sin who is coming one day, his spirit came before him and educated a lot of people. You can't live without sin. Jesus came to destroy it. You can't live without sin. Jesus came to take it away. You can't live without sin. And now you believe that. And the man of sin is in your thought life have exalted himself against this Bible. This Bible said that I came to clean you up. You can be brought to full perfection. Perfection meaning living a holy, righteous life in obedience to God like Christ.
St. Luke 6, verse 40. Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Confirming verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. If we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. St. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Luke 6:40. Anybody say they can't do that, you've been taught wrong.
St. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Matthew 5:16-20. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Now let's read a scripture and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. If you hear the gospel, this is good news to know I can live holy. That's gospel. And Luke 1, verse 74 and 75.
St. Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and verse 75. That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
I'll give you nothing but the Bible. So if you're arguing with me, you know who you're arguing with. The Bible. In context. All right. Because the whole mind of God from the beginning is be ye holy. In the Ten Commandments, that one commandment that said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It had a dual reference because naturally the Jews did need to let the land rest. They needed to rest on the Sabbath. But for the spiritual church, you know what God was talking about? God said, I worked 6 days. I worked 6 days. Everything I made it. It came out of me, my character. It reflects who I am. Now on the Sabbath day, I'm going to rest. I want all you creation to realize, remember the Sabbath. Remember I rested because everything I did was holy. Now I'm resting. Keep it holy. Now how can we come up with a doctrine? Can't nobody live like this. Psalms 4 verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not this knowledge. I speak to your shame. 1 John 2 verse 1. These things have I written unto you that you
sin not.
Ephesians 4 verse 26 through 28. Be ye angry and 1 Peter 4 verse 1. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from
sin.
How in the world we believe preachers that tell us we can't stop sinning? Go read your Bible. Bow your heads for just a minute before we take the Lord's Supper. If you got anything wrong in your life, just in the quietness of your heart, say, God, forgive me. You don't have to say it out loud. Just say, God, I'm sorry. God, if I believe the lie, I'm sorry.
Praise the Lord. We finished for the day. And I want to encourage you that the Bible said they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But Romans 8 verse 14 said they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's seek to walk in the Spirit. For more free teaching, I want you to go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. To call us, you can call at 225-272-6647. Apostle Lewis said, we love you and may God bless you.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.